It's Mike and Bone Radio.
Granny Pat brings us into the bathtub.
Mac Attack is too loud.
Psychologically, something has happened. Now, I don't know what it is, but Lord.
We need a big man in our lives.
The most storied franchise in all of basketball, the Charlotte Hornets.
I'll have my shirt off in 20 minutes.
Good Friday morning, Charlotte. Welcome aboard. We have made it to the post-draft edition of the Mac Attack on FNZ. Heck, we're 20 minutes away from talking to the newest member of the Charlotte Hornets, Mark Williams. I don't know if he slept, but we are going to find out coming up in 20 minutes. What do we think about Charlotte adding the Duke big man? What do we think about that two-minute period where we thought Jalen Duren was our new big man? And do we fully understand the trade we made with Jalen Duren and why we did it? Or are we just going to scream about it? That is something that has to be discussed on the show today. We've got Kendrick Perkins, moments from last night you got to hear. We have Spike Lee, Stephen A. praying analysis. We have the Seahawks, according to one NFL insider, as the favorite for Baker Mayfield. That's a dang shame, ain't it? That's a dang shame. And we got much, much more here on the Mac Attack on FNZ. Paul Biancardi of ESPN will join us. Paul, fresh off of 2 hours with KB on this radio station last night.
He knocked it out of the park, man. That was a phenomenal draft show that him and KB did.
He was like Aaron Hicks last night of the Yankees. Go ahead, Mac.
Does that mean Aaron Hicks hit a homer and the Yankees won?
You don't deserve to know what occurred last night.
I'm just going to assume the Yankees won every game unless I'm notified otherwise.
In absurd fashion, but go ahead. Talk draft.
Well, congratulations, man. Congratulations. That is big for you. So we got a lot to get into. Tons of draft talk to discuss on this radio show. Brant Bronico from Charlotte FC joins us as they get ready to head to Montreal, try to get a little revenge. So we've got a lot to do. Mostly Hornets on today's Mac Attack radio show with a little Aaron Hicks mention thrown in. Bone Man, what do you say?
Good morning, Mac. The Charlotte Comfort Systems temperature right now is 71 degrees. Get a full system tune-up today for $99, and you may need it with Charlotte Comfort Systems. Also, this segment is sponsored by AutoZone. Get in the zone. Free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone, AutoZone.
All right, Bone Man, you knocked it out of the park like Aaron Hicks, man, right there. That's what you did. And Paul Biancardi.
There's people out there that appreciated that comment there. Trust me, at least one person. One and a half people appreciate me.
Braves won yesterday, man. Take three of four from the Giants.
Unbelievable week for the Braves.
And it is going to get emotional tonight when Freddie Freeman is back in that house. No doubt about it. But we're going to talk about the Hornets from last night, Bone. So all along, there was a lot of intel saying the Hornets aren't going to use both first-round picks.
Right.
And we both thought that made sense. And, you know, Mitch kind of mentioned this last night when he was trying to describe a trade that befuddled the masses. After selecting Jalen Duren and then trading him to the Knicks, he then got traded to Detroit. We end up getting next year's Denver Nuggets pick, which you would figure would be lower than 13. They drafted 21 this year.
Especially they get Jamal Murray back next year as well.
Yeah, and Porter, right?
Yep.
You would think they would draft in a 20. So would you think we'd drop maybe 10 spots or so in the draft order? Then we had 4 second-round picks, one of which we would use later last night to move up 5 spots and take Bryce McGowan's out of Nebraska. But I think we knew. We'll get to Mark Williams in a second. Mark Williams is the thing I think to be very excited about. But I felt like the trade, Bone, was the most captivating thing because we're trying to decide, literally, are we angry? Do we understand this? I think, Bone, I understand the school of thought of not wanting to, you know, add more young players to a team that has vowed to need to make a jump. And Mitch said that last night. I think the problem is all these leaks about what they might do to trade one of those picks, which we were in favor of, what they were getting back in those leak deals that they were talking about was a hell of a lot better than this one. Like those leak deals, there was one with the Pistons yesterday afternoon. There was the one with Indiana. Those leak deals were both getting rid of Gordon Hayward. We got rid of no salary yesterday. No salary whatsoever. The other thing, too, Boney, is one of those leak deals was getting rid of Gordon Hayward and bringing in Miles Turner, a veteran big. And we didn't get that. So, like, I understand why they did not want to bring in two more youngsters. And basically, there's $4 million that would have gone this year to the 13th pick in the draft. But, like, those leaks didn't do the Hornets any favors because now everybody's like, we got what?
Yeah, you know? No, you're exactly right. Look, the fact that they didn't use both picks, not shocking at all. The fact that they got Mark Williams, not shocking. Mark Williams, the player, we'll analyze it. We'll talk to him. We like it. But it's sort of how the night played out with the trade that they made. Mac, we are trying this year to not use both these picks because we're at a certain spot in our build where we are, where we're trying to get more vets. We're not wanting to have all these young players. So yet in this trade, if they traded Durin for a vet or a player, that to me, well, that makes a lot of sense. But yeah, to trade it for future draft collateral, when you already are saying that we don't need all these young players, there's not enough spots, a vet would make sense of some sorts. A Mark Williams and a vet, away we go. But the fact that you traded it for future draft stuff, why are we playing the draft collateral game still? That's where I'm questioning.
Because they just wanted to unload the pick, as I understand it. And we'll let you hear from Mitch. We'll let you hear Mitch's words today on the show. But, I mean, the best I can understand is they did not want to make two picks. The $13 pick is a $4 million cap hit. Save that money. We don't need to bring in three more rookies. We had three rookies last year not playing. So they just had to find a deal. And the deal they found does not feel like we got a good one. Meanwhile, the Knicks, and their fans are freaking out, but the Knicks got three freaking future first rounders.
Light the city on fire.
Now, there's a lot of protection.
They made five trades, I think, last night it was, or something.
There's protections for the Knicks deal.
Yes.
Like, so, you know, in terms of will they get all those first round picks?
No, but they probably will end up with one.
They're definitely getting one. They're definitely, but I'm not here really to talk about the Knicks, Flounder. You do that. You and Finney can do that on your podcast.
Look, I'm trying to cheer up the Hornets fans.
All I'm trying to say is the Knicks got a better deal. Knicks fans can cry all they want. Spike Lee can get on his knees. They got a better deal than the Hornets got.
Yes.
The Hornets deal, it sucks.
It really sucks,
especially when we thought we were unloading Hayward or getting a veteran for that 13th pick, right?
And it's also the team that they have the pick from. Look, at first we thought it was Milwaukee, which was, you know, well, where's that going to be? Denver, not quite Milwaukee, but still a pick in the 20s. If they would have got one of the pick back from a team, you go, oh, okay, well, that could be, I mean, yeah, we're not trying to play. We don't want to necessarily play this draft pick game. But, I could see where that pick may be somewhere that they can really use next year as an asset. The Denver pick's kind of like, what are we going to do with that one?
And the thing is, Mitch is also thinking he might not have a first rounder next year. Their pick next year is top 16 protected. So if we have a year like we actually strive to, like, we'll get out of the top 16 and that pick will go to Atlanta and then we'll have one. But if they don't have a good season next year and they're drafting top 16, where we are way too often, well, then all of a sudden we'll be back to two first rounders next year. Do we want to use both first rounders?
Which Mitch told us last night, they didn't want to have all these first rounders.
Yeah, so I think he's banking on being not top 16, so they lose their first but have one first from Denver. It's convoluted stuff, man. It really is. I'll say this. There's also going to be a big Mark Williams, Jalen Duren conversation today. And yesterday, in the last couple days in the draft, we really focused on Duren versus Williams. We asked Jay Billis about it. We asked Seth Greenberg about it. Greenberg definitely said Williams over Durin. It seems like last night a lot of Hornets fans were upset because of Jalen Duren's upside. And they didn't like Mark Williams compared to Jalen Duren, which was surprising to me. Because in the pre-draft lead-up, Williams was by far the most talked about player among Hornets fans. I said it yesterday, Bone. You said it yesterday. I like them both. I wanted Mark Williams because his defensive profile, in my opinion, is better. Mark Williams averaged almost 5 blocks per 40 minutes. Jalen Duren was like 3.3. Mark Williams is a different level shot blocker than Jalen Duren. Mark Williams is also more ready to contribute right now, it feels like, too.
Here would be my question. I'm not saying Duren can't be really good. I think he's going to be more a guy over time that will be really good. Mac, what's the negative towards Mark Williams? The lobs he catches, we saw him finish with ferocity. He runs the court. Go watch the Arkansas game and the way that game started with him running the court. He's got shooting touch. He finishes. He's got some of the best hands I've ever seen for a guy that size and that young at 20 years old. How many, Mac, you watch every moment of these games. How many times this year? He knows sometimes that's the difference in a young player that's good and a young player that never achieves what he can be. It just comes down to, can they catch the ball? How many missed passes did you see Mark Williams not have? How many passes did he not handle this
year? No, his hands are great.
I can't remember hardly any that he didn't catch.
Sucks it up like a vacuum and then goes up and dunks it.
He defends. He's got to rebound a little better, like Mitch said, but there's so much there, and he's still just 20 years old. Just because a guy played 2 years in college doesn't mean that's as good as he's going to be. Like, Duren's got room to grow, too, but just because Mark Williams, you saw him for 2 years, doesn't mean that he can't grow as a 20-year-old guy that measured at the combine almost as well as anyone ever has.
I love Mark Williams. He's the guy I wanted most in this draft. I would have taken Jalen Duren. Like, I wanted Williams or Duren. That was the number one priority to me, is get one of these two young bigs, because they both can block shots. They're both going to finish lobs. And I do realize, I watched Jalen Duren move. I think he's more fluid of an athlete. I think he's a more explosive athlete than Mark Williams. But again, Mark Williams is more ready. Mark Williams is more of a defensive profile big. And to me, the defense from the big is more important. Mark Williams is going to be just fine, like you said, running the floor. He's going to be just fine setting the screen and rolling and finishing a lob off.
Yep.
You know, so, and he's more ready right now. Like, you fire a 43-win coach and tell us that's not enough. We need to go further. I'd like the guy, like Jalen Duren was supposed to be in high school last season. He reclassified. This was supposed to be his freshman year of college coming up. He's raw. He's 18. Mark Williams still has room to grow, Bone, but he's 20, and I think you can plug him into the rotation right away. Where yes. Duren, I honestly don't know. He might have been another Kai Jones situation.
Mac, there's a lot of Kai Jones fans, right? And certainly we hope that if he's here, he's as good as we think he can be as well. But, Mac, for these people that clamor for Kai Jones, that Borrego didn't play the young players, and they wanted to see more Kai Jones, and it was book night during the season. I dealt with a lot of why didn't Kai Jones play more now since Borrego got fired. So if you're claiming for Kai Jones, wouldn't you love the Mark Williams pick? A guy that's actually more ready now than we assume Kai Jones is. So if you're clamoring for more Kai Jones, wouldn't you just embrace all that Mark Williams is? A guy that may have more long-term upside than Kai Jones, for all we know. Haven't seen a lot of Kai Jones. It's going to take a while. But if you love Kai Jones, why wouldn't you love a guy in Mark Williams that can be a rotational piece from day number one? Not saying he's going to start, but a rotational piece from day number one.
I just think they complement each other. If you took 18-year-old Jalen Duren, and he's raw and not ready to play next year, and then you got him and Kai Jones as raw.
Good point.
But you bring in Mark Williams, who's seen as a little more ready to play. Kai might still need time, because I'm telling you right now, I personally think Kai Jones could even use a second redshirt year. Really. He's that freaking raw. But Mark Williams, I would think, is ready for regular backup minutes at the center position. Now, the other question is, though, do we get a freaking another big, or is it Plumlee as the starter? That's a key question, because I don't want Plumlee as a damn starter next year. If that's the case, that's a problem.
Yeah, that's not. Plumlee as a backup is one thing.
Plumlee's got to be out of here.
We said this a year ago. Plumlee as the backup is all right. Plumlee as a starter again, not having that. We mentioned the name Mark Williams a lot, your new member of the Charlotte Hornets. Mark Williams, Big Mark, joins us live from New York on his way to Charlotte this morning with Mac and Bo next on Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ.
Sports Radio FNZ, Mac and Bone with you on a Friday morning. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope everybody has figured out the Hornets trade last night. I'm really curious to see, is there anger about the trade, confusion, shoulder shrugging? I'm really curious to see how people are feeling about that.
It's the thing,
I hope,
Mac,
they're embracing Mark Williams, though. He's exactly what we need.
It's confusing to me, because we went through yesterday all these things that they have. Entering last night, 13-15, they've got Book Knight, they've got Jones, they've got PJ, they've got Rozier, they've got Hayward. I'm not saying all those things move at once, But there's a lot of ability to maneuver your roster with your trade assets, your players. There's a lot you can do. I did not have acquiring a 2023 first rounder in my plan of using one of the assets to acquire another pick. So it's kind of like,
did you want to move down 10 spots in the draft too for next year from 13 to probably 23 or so?
That also was not in my plan.
It's just, and I'm telling you, it's the leaks that kill this, because I understand they didn't want to add two first rounders. But the leaked stories told us, oh, we might be able to get rid of Hayward. Oh, we might be able to get Miles Turner with that 15th pick or 13th or whatever.
Yeah.
And instead, this is what we get. We drop back in the draft and add four second rounders. So that's what it is a comparison to what we had built up in our mind because of the leaked, you know, leaked trade stuff. And then what really happens is, oh, God, that's annoying. Not to mention, last night on Hornets Twitter, Jalen Duren and A.J. Griffin were the bells of the ball. Leading up to the Hornets pick, and it's funny because Mark Williams was by far the most coveted guy in the lead up to the draft on this show.
Absolutely.
From fans. But last night before the draft, I don't know why A.J. Griffin got so popular. I don't think anybody mentioned him until you brought him up yesterday when you said, Mac, he could be falling. But A.J. Griffin and then Jalen Duren were two popular guys. So I saw people complaining that it was Mark Williams over Duren. And we didn't keep Duren. And then I saw people saying, we took the wrong Duke guy.
It's absurd.
We won age. We should have took A.J. Griffin over Mark Williams. And it's like, how long have we been screaming for a rim protecting Jesse? And that is what Mark Williams does. It's perfect for us defensively.
We have wings and guys that can do offensively. We were fine last year. A.J. Griffin's got upside. I think A.J. Griffin, Mac, here's how I describe it. The difference in Williams and Griffin. A.J. Griffin can be good. I think he can. I think he can be good. There's a ways to go. He can be good. Mark Williams will be good in his role. I'm not saying he's going to be in all, but Mark Williams for his role, I know he will be good. A.J. Griffin, he can be, but I know for sure what Mark Williams can provide this basketball team.
Yeah. The thing with A.J. Griffin is I think people might have gotten fired up about him because they started realizing he was going to fall. Because early on in the mocks, wasn't A.J. Griffin up there between 5 and 10?
He got as high as 5, and then he started just in that five and 10.
And I think that was BS. That was never going to happen. I just think he got put too high in the mocks. I never watched A.J. Griffin last year and thought, that guy is a number 5 pick in the draft. That guy's number 6. Look at Shaedon Sharpe and his athleticism and upside. He went 6. And compare it to A.J. Griffin. Like, I honestly,
well, there was one game that Bone was in attendance for where he did look pretty good, unfortunately.
Oh, he had multiple games he looked good, but he is a in the NBA, to me, he's 3-and-D, and that's a nice, solid role, but I don't think he's going to put it on the floor and blow past people in the NBA. I don't think that's happening. He did it in college only a little bit.
It was not going to happen because when these guys get projected that high, they're not coming back. I thought that his game, he came off injuries in high school. He didn't play for like a year and a half. He came off injuries, got off to a little bit of a slow start, showed you he can shoot it. The attacking needs to improve. The defense, obviously, he's got the length, but I thought A.J. Griffin in a perfect world could have actually used more college basketball to grow some of those things. Would never do it because of where he's projected. I thought he could have used one more year, honestly.
Here's my question, because we're bringing up, you know, Duke had 4 first rounders. I'm happy for all these guys. Wendell Moore, I was really happy for because he squeezed into the first round, ended up going number 26 yesterday. Where did Wendell go to, though, Bone?
Wendell went to, I believe, the Dallas Mavericks, but there
was
Dallas and Memphis and Minnesota were involved in so much maneuvering. I lost complete control of who was going where last night between those three. Go look at the draft recap and figure out where guys went last night.
The NBA draft is such an inferior TV product to the NFL draft. It's just for so many reasons. First of all,
Mark Williams should be calling momentarily. By the way.
Okay,
here he is,
cool.
Right there.
There it is. First of all, the picks are tipped on Twitter, so I can't even go on Twitter. Because I don't really want the pick spoiled. Then, Boney, on the broadcast, somehow Woj knows who's going to be picked 5 minutes, 10 minutes before he's picked.
Yeah.
But then Woj isn't allowed to go on ESPN and explain trades to us for a half hour. So, like, we're sitting here in limbo not knowing, was that a trade? Was that not? Like, the Hornets 3-way trade, Bone, was all over Twitter, explained to us, was not explained on the actual TV broadcast for a half hour. Like, you're just, when you when I watch the NBA draft, I'm in a perpetual state of confusion.
I am too.
I'm just like, yeah. And then when Perks starts speaking, I really get confused, Bone.
Woj, Woj is, we are in a 2022 draft, and Woj is in 2025. That's how far ahead he is.
But yet they won't let him come on and talk about a trade that happened for 30 minutes, though. And the TV broadcast is still behind for some reason.
Then there's the hat switching that goes on where guys have the wrong hats.
It's crazy.
It is the most. It used to be my favorite night of the year. Am I old now? I'm completely stressed out watching these drafts now.
But you know
what?
Very
stressed.
Our next guest didn't have to switch hats. He didn't have to switch hats. He was drafted number 15 to the Charlotte Hornets. He gets to stay in the state where he played college basketball at Duke. And I know he's probably tired. He might not have slept. But he's cool enough to come on with us and be welcomed to Charlotte by his guys now on the Mac Attack on WFNZ. Mark Williams, Hornets first round pick. Mark, congratulations, man. Did you sleep?
a little bit. I tried. I'm really excited to get to Charlotte. I can't wait for the opportunity, and, you know, I'm ready to go.
Mark, how excited are you not to play here for the Hornets, but it's also the state you played your college basketball in. You're from Virginia. There's got to be a natural comfort level already being from the area, right?
Yeah, definitely. Not a lot of people get the opportunity, you know, playing the league in the same state that they play college basketball in. So, you know, to have that opportunity for me is really exciting, and I can't wait.
Hey, Mark, we're excited about having you here. We're not blowing smoke, man. We're excited to have you here because this team desperately needs a big that plays like you. I mean, how confident are you that you can bring the rim protection to this team that you did in college, that you can run the floor, that you can finish off those pretty LaMelo lobs? Because that's what we're looking for, man. How confident are you that that's the player you can be in the NBA?
Yeah, I'm very confident. I take pride in playing defense. Obviously I catch lives and, I take pride in that stuff. So, obviously to have LaMelo with me is really exciting and I can't wait for it.
We're talking to new Hornets big man Mark Williams, kind enough to join us here early on in the show on the Mac Attack on 92.7 FNZ. Mark, analysts have brought this up, and I've thought this too, to be honest with you. Do you have the ability to step out a little more offensively at a higher shooting clip than we saw at Duke? How much more offensive game do you have, really, maybe than we saw in your 2 years at Duke?
Yeah, definitely. I've been continuing to improve my shot, to shoot the ball. If a defender backs up, I'm willing and able to take that shot and make that shot. And then obviously in the post, I think I'm a willing passer. I do a good job passing the ball, making the right decision. So I'm really excited for that.
We're talking with Mark Williams, brand new Charlotte Hornet, taking 15th in the draft last night. Mark, all right, so talk to us about your reactions, because I can only imagine how stressful and excited you are in that green room waiting. So Jalen Duren, for a few minutes there, we thought, okay, that's the big man we picked. We picked him over Mark, all right? We're trying to, deal with that. How? And then we realized it's a trade, and we're like, oh, this 15th pick's got to be Mark Williams then. Did you think for a minute there, okay, well, they drafted Jalen Duren, I'm not going to Charlotte, or was Charlotte kind of in communication with you? Like, were you confused? How did that all play out for you last night?
I saw the pick. I was like, oh, okay, he's going to Charlotte. And then obviously the trade happened, so, we worked from there. And then, as soon as the trade happened, I learned, like, there's really an opportunity there for me, so... after Cleveland picked Ochai at 14, I knew there was a real chance for me at 15. So, I was really excited for that. And, as soon as Adam Silver said my name to go to Charlotte, I was really excited.
Mark, as you're well aware, especially at Duke, in the way things are now in this era, guys go to the league as quick as possible. A lot of one and dones, but you played 2 years at Duke. How important now and going forward are you going to view your college experience as to your overall growth?
Yeah, I think it was huge for me. Heading into year two was, after the first year, we had a lot of ups and downs. For me personally, just considering what I wanted to do for my future after my freshman year. So, coming back to school year two, just continuing to improve my game and, have the year I had this year, made that decision that much easier for me after my sophomore year.
Mark, do you view yourself, because the league now, you know how it is. Some guys will be drafted. Like Kai Jones, for example, is going to be one of your teammates here in Charlotte. But he was drafted in the first round last year, but he didn't play much. You know, he was viewed as raw. With you, do you view yourself as, hey, I'm ready to be in the rotation right away?
I mean, yeah, definitely. You know, I've obviously worked hard to get to this point, and it's going to be a lot more hard work, you know, to, you know, stay and continue to evolve and, you know, stay in this league. So, you know, I'm obviously ready to put in that work. You know, I can't wait to get to Charlotte, meet the guys, and go from there.
We're talking to new Hornets big man Mark Williams here on Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ. Mark, did you have a favorite team, NBA team growing up, or were you more into watching individuals? What was your basketball viewing experience like for a young Mark Williams?
You know, watched a lot of individuals. I didn't really have a team growing up. You know, I love watching KD, LeBron, you know, guys like that growing up, Joel Embiid, and, you know, they're still in the league now, so for them to become guys I play against nightly is, you know, really cool for me.
Who is, like, is there a player you look at in the NBA right now and say, I can be like that? That's the type of player and impact I can have?
Impact-wise, I'd say right now maybe like a Robert Williams from Boston. You know, his ability, you know, catch lobs, you know, in the playoffs, he was fighting the knee injury, but, you know, his ability to protect the rim, guard everybody, you know, play hard and, you know, try to help Boston in any way he can. So probably a guy like him.
Yeah. Mark, I want you to know I'm a Duke fan. I'm coming from a good place when I say this. I always have your back. I'm a friend of yours now. I need to say, though, you're walking into a storm here of Mitch Kupchak, UNC, Buzz Peterson, UNC, Michael Jordan, UNC. I'm just telling you, Mark, these guys are on the lookout right now. Watch your back entering that building here coming up.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad they put their visas on basket 15. So it's pretty exciting. I can't wait to meet everybody and, you know, just can't wait to get to Charlotte.
They must have liked you. If those three guys were all willing to sign off on a Blue Devil, man, they must love your game. That's a good sign.
As soon as the combine measurements, Mark, came in, they said, hey, who cares where he played?
They don't care about the shade of blue when you got that 9-9 standing reach. Mark, last thing, because I want to let you go, because I know you probably want to get some rest in. You're coming to Charlotte. I know you're going to have a presser today. But I got to ask you, Are you at all a morning person? Because we do these interviews every year with the draft prospects. I have never heard someone sound so awake, coherent, and ready to rock
Impressive.
And roll. Like, do you like the mornings, or are you just gutting through the fatigue right now?
I'm usually pretty good with the morning, but, you know, getting drafted is going to make me that much more awake. So
that's
I'd say a little combination of both.
That's a good point. You probably are on a high right now. All right, man. Well, hey, we're glad you were able to squeeze us in. We're really excited about having you here on the Hornets. We look forward to talking to you as you get here in Charlotte and basketball gets going for you. Congratulations, man. Enjoy it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
There you go, Mark Williams, former Duke big
nice
man,
kid.
Now a Charlotte Hornet. Class kid, hard worker. You know, the one thing I'll say about Jalen Duren
comes from an incredible family too. Dad's a doctor, his sister is a Duke legend. He comes from a great background that's grounded him. Hear it a lot in the broadcast, but it's true though.
One thing I'll say about Jalen Duren is I did read in some of the scouting reports his motivation was questioned.
Okay.
Motivation and want to. That won't appear in any scouting report of Mark Williams. Guy works his butt off. And like Mitch said last night, he needs to put on weight and get stronger. There's no doubt in my mind he will, man. Look at the jump he made. Look at how he couldn't get on the floor at Duke the first half of the season. Look at the impact at the end of the second year. And then look at what he was doing the end of the first year. Look what he was doing by the end of the second year.
Absolutely. Mac, by the way, got a tweet overnight I wanted to tell you about. Someone says last night was like NBA Survivor. We thought we were voting Gordon Hayward out. We thought we had the votes. We thought we had the backdoor move, and yet Gordon lasts one more week.
Oh, that's well played there.
All right. When we come back, more Hornets talk audio segment featuring Mitch Kupchak. You just heard from the man he drafted. Have Mitch tell you next why he took Mark Williams and why they did the moves they did last night. It's Mac and Bone, Sports Radio, 92.7 FNZ.
Oh, Sports Radio FNZ. I hear you, Finny Marlowe, doing that Nick Wilson show promo there. Finny Marlowe, a complete classless bum on the Garage Door Guru text line right now. So badly that I feel bad associating Garage Door Guru with Finny's text. He's a hornet now, Finny. Put the Tar Heel stuff aside, Finny, and watch yourself.
I don't want to do this publicly, but we have a bio thing here for people's names. So on the info here, I am now not changing his name, but he is now identified on the notes section as of 6:24 as classless bum.
How long, Bone, until the jokes about that Finny and other Heels fans are making? Oh man, I hope Mark Williams closes out better on those guards. I hope Mark Williams makes those key free throws for the Hornets. How long until those jokes lead you to destroy property here in FNZ?
With hours of help professionally with a lot of work, I've moved on. I use that Men in Black device where they make you forget. So as of right now, I don't even really know what you're talking about.
You've moved on, unlike Coach K and Duke.
You got to keep driving that car forward. Don't look back, baby.
All right, he's a Hornet now. I love him here, whether Heels fans make jokes or not.
Have some respect.
Let's
keep
do.
Those jokes till tomorrow.
That's right. Flounder said, I won't make any of those jokes. It's his special day.
Until Flounder tomorrow. Handled himself professionally today. How about that? How about that over there?
Well, it's early, though. It's early, though, Bo. All right, let's do some misspeak. This is Mitch Kupchak. He had no coach at his side this year to share the microphone. It was Mitch's show on the two press conferences, the one after the Williams pick and then the one after we ended up with Nebraska guard Bryce McGowan's last night in the second round. Let's let you hear some of what Mitch had to say, Bone. Let's start first with him talking about two things that we figure Mark Williams can bring: defense and rebounding.
Being able to defend and rim protect a little bit. He needs a lot of work in getting stronger. And I don't have any doubt that he'll work hard and get in the weight room, you know, watch his diet and get stronger. But he's, you know, a good rebounder. Okay, I wouldn't say that, you know, he's going to be a rebound monster right now. But I think if he gets stronger, I think he can become an excellent rebounder.
Certainly has the tools in place with size and the way he plays the game. Yeah, I think that I don't worry too much about his rebounding. I think that's something that he's got to grow into a little bit more. But I think that with his hands, his size, I think rebounding will be fine. A lot of missed shots coming his way. He'll be great.
I feel like we can't force missed shots, but I feel like we're pretty good at the offensive end of shooting. Duren, I think, a little bit better rebounder. Per 40 minutes, a little bit better rebounder than what Mark Williams was. But I think, again, he'll get stronger. I think he'll get better at that. The thing for me is the two skills that we wanted the most in a big, he's going to bring. And that is the defense and the rim protection and the shot blocking. And then the other one is run the floor, rim run, and then also set a screen and roll. And if the defense comes to Melo, he's going to lob it up. You go get it. And he can do all those things right there, those two skills.
You can't understate at all how good his hands are. And with LaMelo Ball, Mac, his passing, being alert, catching the ball, he's like the anti-Bismack Biyombo. Like this guy, definitely. I'm trying to think in my head how many times, remember when Chase Jeter played at Duke, Mac, how many passes that dude missed in like a year or two? It was like 1,000 passes. Mark Williams, I don't remember hardly any at all where he didn't get his hands on. When he gets his hands on the ball, he gets it.
Yeah, and he finishes
quick. That's a huge thing for a big man.
He gathers it and finishes quick. All right, so something that has been talked about in the lead-up, I know you've been big talking about this, is there a guy that can shoot the jumper? Not mid-range, not out there to three, but a nice solid mid-range jumper off a little pick and pop and stuff like that. And Mitch Kupchak revealed what he saw in the pre-draft workouts.
He fills a need on the team. He can shoot the ball better than I think we've seen. You know, watching Duke play, they were so talented. And as you can see, with all the players, they're probably going to get drafted in the first round. You know, he wasn't really the player that was, you know, that was able to do what he wanted to do offensively. They just had to share the ball so much. So I think we'll see more of, you know, individual skill than perhaps you've seen, you know, the last couple of years at Duke.
And well, let's be honest here. The shooting touch from the outside will be an added dimension that would only be a boon to who he already is. They already have guys offensively that should carry the load from that perspective of shooting. But if he can add that, and with these players, Mac, it's hard to tell. Billis said it the other day, and it's true. We saw him 2 years, but oftentimes these guys have games that we don't know fully what they are until they get to the pros. Look at Bam at Kentucky. I'm not saying the comparison for
no one saw all that come.
But Bam had this creative offensive point forward big man type game. We didn't know that at Kentucky, so we have no idea sometimes what these guys have.
He was 5 of 9 on jumpers last year at Duke. Literally 5 of 9, 56%, small sample. Jalen Duren shot more jumpers, but only shot 36%. So Mark Williams, I think, has a better kind of mid-range jumper, and that just changes what you can do on the pick on the screenplays with Melo. Like, not everything has to be that hard roll to the basket. Maybe it's a little flare out, right? And two guys go to LaMelo, boom, you just hit him for a nice little 17-footer. So,
and also, I'll
say
this.
That's going to be in his bag, too. I do personally.
One thing about him, and I need everyone to be classy and professional. Flounder, shut up. Biddy off the text line. I know he missed the two big free throws at the end of the Carolina game, which was kind of the shocking thing, because for a man of his size, he was a really good free throw shooter.
74% last year, up from 53 the year before. And Duren shot at 62%. That's another advantage for Mark Williams.
I'm going back to that dark place. Oh, no. Oh, God.
Let's get a couple more clips from Mitch in here. Luckily for Bone, he did not talk about that Duke-UNC game. But he did talk about Kenny Atkinson.
Disappointed, and still feel he would have been a good selection. You know, I've known Kenny for a long time. You know, he's a Long Island guy, so which is where I'm from. So there's the Long Island basketball mafia that really supported him. We are a little bit, you know, different in age, you know, but I've known him for a while. And I think he would have been a good pick. But, you know, if he's not comfortable, I'd rather find out now than a year from now.
Mac, here was Kenny Atkinson's response to this whole thing that Mitch just said right there.
Don't come looking for me. Don't call. Don't text.
I have a basketball mafia reference.
Is it possible that Mitch will try to turn the Long Island basketball mafia on Kenny? Is it possible that that happens and there's a Sopranos-like moment?
Sounds like something from Goodfellas.
Yeah, has anybody been in touch with the V-Man today? I think he may be on assignment.
Is there a V-Man involved with this basketball Long Island mafia or whatever it was? All right, one last one, because I'm telling you, one of the things that ruined last night for us the most in terms of the trade is we were led to believe there was a chance we were going to get rid of Gordon Hayward last night. And then when we made that trade, it was like, that ain't near getting rid of Gordon Hayward. Listen to this, Bone. I hate to have to present this to you, y'all, but does this sound like a man in Mitch Kupchak that is on the verge of trading Gordon Hayward? Listen to this.
Obviously, you know, we want Gordon to get healthy and stay healthy, right? That's, you know, arguably one of our best players. So that's the key. And, you know, knock on wood, you know, he's made good progress this summer. Sprained ankle, right? But he's on the court. He's working out. And, you know, we're hopeful. That's a big key for us. You know, there's no doubt about it. Not only is he our highest paid player, but, you know, he's one of our best players, too. And, you know, stability, you know, and just somebody that could calm and steady, you know, the game for our younger players. So that's important.
Mac, next month marks 18 years for you at FNZ. I'm on 17. How many of those years are spent trying to wait out a bad contract? Because you go back to Batum and Hayward and then other ones, like you and I are constantly just trying to figure out how to get rid of people.
There's always a guy. And we're not talking about getting rid of people like the Long Island basketball mafia.
No.
We're talking about just how does this deal end? Can we buy him out? No, we can't. I don't know. I'm going to hope that is GM speak there, right? And that isn't an indicator or a tell that he's going to be here. I hope he isn't like, well, we tried to shop him, draft time didn't work out. Well, now we need him to be healthy. Because I really believe, Bone, there needs to be trades made moving forward here. Mark Williams is a nice addition. We need a veteran big that's different than Plumlee.
Yeah.
I would like to get rid of the Gordon Hayward contract. I like, if they try to just run the same, and he talked a lot about keeping his own guys and mentioned specifically, it seemed like, Miles and Cody as the priorities is the way it seemed like he was saying it. Cody Martin sounded like a priority. If we run this backbone and the only real addition is Mark Williams, I don't think that suffices, man.
What if we
I really don't.
What if we add Mark Williams and just no coach at all? How'd you feel about that? Because that's where we're trending right
now. The best quote, you got to find it, Flounder. It's at the end of one of his answers about, and we'll play it later. We'll do some more Mitch speak later. But the best quote from Mitch is at the end of one of his answers about the coach and like, did you need him for the draft? Do you need him for free agency? Which, oh, by the way, starts next Thursday night. Mitch at the end just says, we'd like a coach. Really? You'd like one?
I'd like a girlfriend. I'd like a girlfriend.
Ned on the Garage Door Guru text line says the Long Island Basketball Mafia had a higher RPI last year than NC State.
Come on. That is cold. I thought this was supposed to be a Duke UNC fight.
Come on. We're talking Hornets, man.
All right, y'all. So we're excited about Mark Williams. I hope you are. We got to weigh this out, though. Was the draft night a good one? The trade, I don't think, is making sense to fans at all. The trade, we had Duren, we traded him, but we ended up with a big that's perfect for us in Mark Williams. Does that equal good draft night or nah? Let's talk about it next. Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ.
The Long Island Basketball Mafia.